Welcome to your deep dive.
Oh, this is going to be a good one.
Today, we're going to try and understand Moroccan society.
Just from one day.
Just from one day. November 20th, 2024, to be exact.
Ambitious. I like it.
And get this. Our only source is that day's edition of the newspaper, Al Alam.
Ooh, that's fun. Like a little time capsule.
Exactly. A snapshot of a nation frozen in time. What were people talking about? What were they worried about? What were they celebrating?
I'm ready. Let's dive in.
All right. So picture yourself in Morocco picking up this newspaper.
Okay. Got it.
First thing you see, it's Independence Day, the 69th anniversary of Morocco's independence from France.
A big day.
Huge. But the paper doesn't just celebrate. There's this editorial, really thought-provoking, on the concept of the greater jihad.
Ah, the greater jihad, a term coined by the late King Mohammed V.
Right. And it's deeper than you might think.
Oh, absolutely. It's not about violence. It's about nation building.
Yeah.
Progress, unity. A call echoed by the current King Mohammed VI.
And the paper quotes the editorial talking about modernizing the Moroccan state, but at the same time, upholding its traditional values.
Classic balancing act. You see that in a lot of societies.
Trying to move forward while honoring the past. Okay, but here's where things get interesting. The paper also covers some political maneuvering. Internationally, Algeria is taking some preemptive action.
Preemptive? What do you mean?
Well, there are some concerns about a potential shift in U.S. foreign policy.
You think this is about
Donald Trump?
Yeah. With the possibility of him returning to power, Algeria has hired a U.S. lobbying firm, one with strong ties to the Republican Party.
No kidding. How much are we talking?
A cool $720,000 annually.
Wow. They're not messing around. I guess they're pretty worried about how things might change.
Especially when it comes to the Sahara conflict.
Oh, right. That's a big one. And speaking of, it's all over this issue of Al Alam. Despite threats from the Polisario Front, you know, the group seeking independence for Western Sahara.
Backed by Algeria. Exactly. So despite all of that, Morocco is pushing ahead with a major infrastructure project in the disputed territory.
You're talking about that massive power line connecting Casablanca all the way to Dakhla.
The 3-megawatt one? It's a bold statement. They're basically saying, we're here to stay.
Yeah, it almost feels defiant, given the context.
It is. It's part of their strategy. Strengthen their claim through economic development, showing the world that they're committed to the region.
And speaking of showing the world, they're also celebrating a diplomatic win. The paper highlights the opening of, how many was it? Over 30 consulates in Western Sahara.
Yep. Presenting it as a sign of growing international support. It's an interesting contrast, isn't it? Algeria lobbying in the U.S. while Morocco focuses on on-the-ground development and diplomatic outreach. Really shows how complex this conflict is.
Speaking of complex, let's look at some domestic issues. One that jumped out at me was a report on high levels of mercury in canned tuna.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a big deal. Public health alarm bells are probably ringing.
The report cites international organizations backing these findings. So this could have a ripple effect on Morocco's fishing industry, maybe even consumer behavior.
Definitely something to watch.
And then there's the cost of living crisis. Olive oil prices are through the roof.
Oh, that's tough. Olive oil is such a staple there.
The paper goes into detail about government measures, trying to control inflation, like easing import restrictions on olive oil. But it's tricky. They want to make it affordable for people, but also protect local producers.
Tough spot to be in. I bet that resonates with people everywhere. Prices going up, trying to make ends meet. And in Morocco, olive oil isn't just any ingredient.
It's part of their culture. So many of their traditional dishes.
Exactly. It's not just an economic issue. It's a cultural one, too.
Okay. So we've got politics, international relations, economic anxieties. But this newspaper isn't all doom and gloom. There's this really interesting article about the importance of arts education.
Oh, I love that.
And it goes beyond just teaching kids how to paint or play music. They argue that it helps develop critical thinking, encourage civic engagement, essential for shaping well-rounded citizens.
I like that approach. It's not just a hobby.
Right. There was this one quote that said, neglecting arts education can actually be detrimental to society. And then they contrast that with all the positive outcomes, integrating art into the curriculum.
A powerful argument. It makes you wonder if we undervalue the arts sometimes.
And then, on a totally different note, there's this article celebrating Morocco's participation in the Sharjah International Book Fair, showcasing Moroccan literature, especially Amazi writing.
Yes. Amazi, for those who might not know, refers to the indigenous Berber people of North Africa. Their culture and language have been, well, marginalized.
So to see this emphasis on their literature. It's a big deal.
Absolutely. Feels like a step towards inclusivity, understanding, recognizing their contributions to Moroccan culture.
And it ties into the bigger conversations we're seeing about national identity, cultural preservation, all playing out in this one newspaper.
Fascinating.
It really is. And we're just getting started.
Back again with our deep dive into Moroccan society.
Still looking through this one newspaper, Al Alam.
From November 20th, 2024, remember?
Of course. We've talked politics, the economy.
But what about the people? Their daily lives.
I like that. What are they worried about? What makes them happy?
What are they celebrating? It's all right here in these pages.
And one thing that really jumps out is this focus on young Moroccans. Like, there's this real sense of urgency to prepare them for the future.
Yeah, and one article that really captures that is about the challenges facing young people, especially in rural areas.
Jobs. That's a big one.
Huge. The article talks about government initiatives to create jobs, to combat unemployment, especially with the drought hitting some regions pretty hard.
It's not just about having any job, right? It's about having the skills. Like, yeah. I found this piece about a training workshop in Clemem.
Clemem, what were they doing there?
Developing new ways to teach languages.
Interesting. What kind of approaches?
They're calling them pedagogical models. But basically, they're trying to tailor language learning to the needs of these young people.
Makes sense. It's not just about grammar anymore. It's about communication in a globalized world.
Exactly. And thinking critically, engaging with different cultures and perspectives.
It's about empowering them.
And this goes beyond just language. There's another article about the role of cultural heritage.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. How do you use the past to help shape the future?
It talked about this cultural event in Tattert, bringing people together to preserve traditional knowledge and arts.
Passing it on to the next generation. But it goes deeper than that. It's about using cultural heritage to build social cohesion.
And promote sustainable development, connecting the past to the present, which, you know, ties into another article I found about the meaning of responsibility.
Ooh, responsibility. That's a big one.
Right. It gets into philosophy of it all. Individual responsibility and responsibility as a society.
Was it talking about like duty, obligation, those kinds of things?
Yeah. And it draws on both Western and Islamic philosophical traditions.
That's fascinating. Blending different perspectives.
And ultimately, it's a call to action. To be responsible, to shape a just society, work together for the collective good.
A powerful message.
Especially with all the challenges Morocco is facing.
Yeah.
Economic uncertainty, questions about national identity, cultural preservation. We've talked about all of that.
And yet, even with all of that, life goes on. And this newspaper, it reminds us that there's still joy, celebration.
National pride. Like, there's this great story about a young cyclist, Saad Eid Akbor. He won the first stage of the North Tour.
The North Tour, that's a big cycling race, right?
Huge. And his victory, right on the eve of Morocco's Independence Day. Talk about perfect timing.
Wow. What a story. Individual achievement, but also this national pride.
And the paper makes sure to highlight the symbolism. This tour is commemorating both the anniversary of the Green March and Independence Day.
Right, the Green March, that mass mobilization into Western Sahara.
Back in 1975, it was a pivotal moment in that conflict.
And now they're weaving it into this sporting event.
It shows how sport can unite people, bring them together.
Speaking of unity, what about the national football team? How are the Atlas Lions doing?
Oh, they're on fire. Al Alam reports a dominant performance in the Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers. They crushed Lesotho 7-0.
No kidding. They're hosting the tournament this year, right?
Yeah, and the excitement is palpable. The article quotes players and coaches talking about their hard work and dedication.
It's the classic underdog story. Everyone loves to cheer for the home team.
But even with all the excitement, there's a hint of disappointment. Star player Sofiane Rahifio. He was left off the shortlist for the African Player of the Year award.
Oh, wow, really? After such a great season.
It just goes to show even when things are good, there can be setbacks, controversy. It adds another layer to the story.
Absolutely. And those little details, those unexpected twists, that's what makes this deep dive so fascinating. We're seeing the whole spectrum of human experience.
The highs and lows, the victories and the disappointments.
It's all right here in these pages.
Okay, so we've covered a lot. Politics, economy, youth empowerment, even the thrill of victory with sports.
But there's always more to the story, right?
Right. And as we dig deeper into Al Alam, we start to see I don't know, a different side of Morocco.
The more complex issues, the stuff that doesn't always make the headlines.
Exactly. And one of those topics that really stood out to me was the environment. There's this article about Morocco's participation in COP29.
The UN Climate Change Conference.
Yeah. And it's interesting, there's this tension. On one hand, Morocco wants to be a leader in climate action, renewable energy.
They've invested a lot in solar power,
right,
pushing for sustainable development.
But then on the other hand, they're facing these harsh realities, water scarcity, concerns about food security, the impact of climate change on vulnerable communities.
Especially in rural areas, right?
Exactly. It's like this reminder that even as they strive for progress, they're also dealing with this global crisis head on.
And it's all connected. We've talked about the rising cost of food, the need for job creation, sustainable agriculture. It's all part of the same puzzle.
And it makes you realize that these global issues, they're not just abstract concepts. They have real consequences for people's lives.
Speaking of real consequences, there's this other article, kind of a sensitive topic, mental health.
I saw that one. It was just a small legal notice, right? About a court case.
A man deemed mentally unfit to manage his affairs.
Yeah. It's not front page news, but it's significant that it's even mentioned in a national newspaper.
It makes you think about how Moroccan society views mental illness, the legal protections in place.
Like a glimpse into a bigger conversation, one that's maybe just starting.
There's still a lot of stigma, but this, even just this small notice, it hints at the need for more awareness, support.
It's a good reminder. Behind all the politics, the economics, there are human stories, struggles. Resilience, sometimes hidden in the most unexpected places.
And then, shifting gears a bit, internationally, there's an article about the conflict between Israel and Palestine.
Yeah, it focuses on the U.S. Senate, debating military aid to Israel. And it gives you a sense of how Morocco views this whole situation.
It's tricky, because Morocco has been strengthening ties with Israel.
But this article suggests they're not ignoring the Palestinian issue, not at all.
It quotes a U.S. senator who's concerned about Israel's actions. Calls for a more balanced approach, diplomacy, human rights.
And that seems to resonate with Moroccan sentiment.
It's a balancing act. New relationships while upholding their commitment to a peaceful resolution.
Complex, with no easy answers. But Morocco's engaged, trying to find a way forward.
And I think that's a good place to leave it for today.
We've covered so much. Celebrations, anxieties, triumphs, struggles. This one issue of Al Alam has given us such a multifaceted view of Morocco.
All from a single day in November 2024. It's amazing what you can learn from just one day's worth of news.
It really is. And it reminds us that even the most ordinary sources can reveal extraordinary things, if we take the time to look closely.
We've seen a nation facing its challenges, celebrating its wins, and looking towards the future with hope and determination. I think that's something we can all relate to.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into Al Alam. We hope you'll join us again soon for another journey into a different corner of the world. And until then, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep digging deeper.